Ryan Rashog from TSN, number one fan of Justin Timberlake, and number two fan of Mark Mageau joins us now. Shogger, how are you?
Good. Guilty, both fronts.
Yes. Hey, well, not guilty. You should be excited about it. Proud. Proud would be the better word. Proud.
There you go.
A few things. Okay. It's hard to say the organization's taking forward steps when they make a lot of the small ones that are wrong. Why is Klefbom and Marinson both sitting in the press box now? Like, there's no reason to have both of them, they're both left shots, in the press box when the Oilers don't get a ton of practice time, nor when they do they practice at an overly intense pace.
Yeah, I agree. I think that these are players who need to be playing. It's not like Klefbom had been awful. Certainly no worse than Nikitin. And yet they're sitting in the press box. So, you know, I didn't play last game. Don't play. You got the day off. Not going to play tonight. Probably day off tomorrow. Are they going to be back in the lineup on the weekend? I mean, and how many days between games now are you going for these young players? I agree. They need to. I know that Dallas got a little bit, I don't know if frustrated is the right word, but when Maddie asked the question today, Dallas sort of got a little bit defensive about it because Maddie said, how long before these guys get back in? You know, you got to get them back in. And his answer is kind of, as long as it takes. And he kind of said, you're asking a lot of manager-type questions. You know, like, in other words, questions we should be asking to Craig. But it's a totally fair question by Maddie today. And, yeah, it doesn't look great on him. So here they've got a 19-year-old as their second/third-line center who played less than 8 minutes last game. They've got a couple of young up-and-coming defensemen who've been out of the lineup now and will probably end up being like a week between games for them, or close to. Just developmentally, it doesn't make sense. And I know they're in a jam to try and win some games and ice their best lineup, but they have to be thinking development a little bit more than this.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense to me. And, you know, I'm not surprised by the Leon Draisaitl situation because the NHL, last time I checked, is extremely difficult league to come into as a rookie player. And your development, people want to talk about, oh, you're better to be here and practicing and play. Not when you're playing 7 minutes a night and losing confidence shift by shift. It makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, he's not playing 7 minutes a night. That's what he played last game, and that was that one got away from them early, and so that's what he ended up playing. You know, Draisaitl's playing 12 minutes and 36 seconds on average time on ice per game, which is right around the exact same as Curtis Lazar.
But not the last six, right? Like, that's kind of skewed because if you look at his numbers, they're progressively getting lower and lower, right?
Yeah, I think look, on the road trip, they didn't use him as much. They can't use him as much on the road. They're not as comfortable with the matchups that they might throw him over the boards and end up in. Like, look, the whistle blows and Dallas Eakins isn't thinking, is Leon ready to go? He's thinking, okay, who's fresh on their bench? Who could they possibly throw it on the ice against him if I give him the tap? And that's the problem, is the whistle blows and it's time for a line change. Dallas is going, okay, so if it's Vancouver, well, the Sedins might be fresh, that's no good. You know, Bino might be there, that's no good. It just, none of the options feel good to him. So at least on home ice here, and they've got a 5-game homestand, he'll be able to control those matchups, and Leon probably will get more ice time. The danger on the road is you throw him over the boards, and you got to be keeping track of. I mean, it would be nothing for the Nashville Predators to go, you know, James Neal go again, double shift those guys into a mismatch. So he has to be more careful, and it's showing in his minutes.
Yeah, Ryan Rashog from TSN joined us. And, yeah, a guy who I think in limited minutes is being effective is Pakarinen, but he can't get on the ice basically because he's playing with Draisaitl.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's played 6:26, I think, in his couple of games here. He's there's an effectiveness there to his game, but that's exactly what it is. And he's not going to be getting the power play minutes that Draisaitl will get. So, it's not ideal to have a line where you have to shelter them that much, where you need to be thinking that often about, I got to be careful here. And so if you have to watch out for him that much, should he be here? Now, I asked Dallas about Draisaitl specifically today, and you heard his answer. I mean, he went on and on about how just because his minutes are down, don't assume he's not playing well. But then he went on to talk about how there's peaks and valleys for a rookie, and Draisaitl is very clearly in a deep valley right now. So the question is, how long does it last, and what does it take to get him back up to a peak?
And this player is experiencing something he's never had to deal with before. Draisaitl has never been in a situation before where he sits on the bench for 12, 14 minutes and then gets thrown over the boards to go and find his best shift. This is brand new for him. And to try and work that out at the NHL level is tough, especially when foot speed and pace of play is the original issue. Well, you got to play to improve on that. To sit cold for 8, 9, 10 minutes and then, oh, got to go and be right up at that level that earns you another shift, he's digging himself out. And this is really tough for him because he hasn't been through this before.
Looking ahead to the Senators and, you know, the Oilers' defense pairing tonight, they went back to kind of what they started the season with, Fane and Nikitin, Ferentz and Petrie, and now Justin Schultz basically played with the other guy, which is tonight is going to be Keith Ollie. I know you asked a question about Nikitin, and you know Aikens did say, hey, you know what, they kind of go back to being simpler things. I understand, and Struds has talked about it, you know, veterans get a longer leash. At what point do you think, how close do you think 86 is to getting a seat in the press box?
I think he's got to be pretty close because they've got the pressure of having these young guys sitting up there. Ollie's playing decent, and Nikitin has clearly been their worst defenseman for the last little bit here. So I think he has to be getting close. But you heard Dallas today, it was Speck who asked the question, but you heard Dallas's response today. I can't remember exactly the way he put it, but it was along the lines of, we're kind of giving him that veteran benefit of the doubt. Right? They're kind of, he knows he's not playing good. He spoke with Nikitin. The coaching staff has been speaking with him over and over, and they're kind of sitting there waiting for this veteran player to pull himself out of the valley here. And I got the sense from the way Dallas put that today that they're being patient with him because he's a veteran, but it might be getting to the end of it. So I think they probably should have already sat him down. They want to give him the veteran benefit of the doubt here, but if he has another bad game, you got to get one of those kids in there. And if Ollie continues to play well, you're going to have to at some point have it make sense to the players. If you're going to be bad for five games in a row, you're going to sit. Doesn't matter who you are. And they're going to have to send that message at some point here.
Taylor Hall on the ice for the fourth consecutive day today. He talked to the media, doesn't want to rush anything back, has the brace on it for extra support. Do you think you see him Sunday, or do they err on the side of caution and maybe go Wednesday?
Well, I think the fact that he skated with the team today probably means he's got a chance to play Sunday. I think that he's back with them, skating, looked pretty good. Now, he's got braces on both legs. I was noticing today. He's got braces on both of his legs. So I don't know what his speed level, what his effectiveness will be, where he'll be percentage-wise. I would err on the side of giving him all the time he needs just because it's not worth it to rush him at all and have him playing even at 80%, but he can manage the pain. Just give him the time he needs to be healed. But Taylor wants in. And I think he's probably champing at the bit to get in. And the way he looked today and the fact that he was skating with his team, I would say there's a shot for him on Sunday for sure.
Moving to the Eskimos, Ryan Rashog joins us.
Yep.
The Eskimos taking on the Riders. Riders announced today, Kerry Joseph is their guy, Matt Nichols their guy. Both teams had closed practices to the media today, which is really symbolic of what they do with the Grey Cup week, right? So, me, it's not a big issue at all. Some people complain about it. I don't have a problem with it. It's one day. Who cares? But you look at the Eskimos and the Mike Riley situation. I don't expect him to play. Do you?
No, I would say it would probably be kind of a minor miracle of him to be able to go from a suspected broken bone in his foot and hobbling around what we saw yesterday to all of a sudden dropping back and throwing footballs in the cold on Sunday. That's going to be pretty tough to do. And the cold plays a big factor in it too. Like it does. It's harder. Everybody knows you got a sore leg, you got a bad back. When it's freezing cold, it sucks. It's worse. Everything's exacerbated and it's worse. So, they'll practice tomorrow. We'll get a little bit of a look of what he's doing tomorrow. So we'll have a better sense of it tomorrow to see how big a part he's playing in practice, if he's actually dropping back and throwing hard. We'll get a much better view of it. But I would say from what I saw yesterday, everything we're hearing, what the team has said, it's probably a little bit of a smokescreen, and I would be very surprised if he plays on Sunday. And I'd be, if it is a busted bone in his foot, I mean, you don't want to – remember – like, you got to be careful about that when you're dealing with broken bones. It's not just a matter of dealing with pain. It's, you can seriously mess stuff up if you're running around on broken bones. So they're going to have to be careful with it.
Shager, should be an interesting game tonight. Oilers and the Senators, kind of a road warrior series recently. Ottawa's won five of the last six in Edmonton, and Edmonton has a lot more success on the road against the Sens than they do at home. So they'll try to reverse that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see Lazar tonight too, right? We're all used to watching him play in junior, and you can watch him play on TV at the NHL level, but it'll be interesting to see in live game action how he fits, the role he plays. And had a good chat with him today. Said he thinks he plays a little more defensive now than he did when he was with the Oil Kings. That's kind of what he's had to do to survive in the NHL. He's playing with some offensive players on his line, but happy for him. He's a great kid. And he's doing pretty well in the early goings of his NHL career.
Yeah, you bet. Guy's going to, you know, he's going to be fired up to play tonight for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Shager, we'll see you at the rink.
Okay, buddy.